St. John 10. We'll start in the 7th verse. St. John 10 and 7, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You may be seated. Tremendous passage in the Word of God we look at this morning. And as we thought even earlier today, and even just as recently as just now upon our knees, we might have the Scripture, we might have a thought, but it takes God to preach His Word. It's not a power that's possessed by the flesh. It's not a talent that somebody refines and improves upon. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The counsels of the Holy Ghost speaking to a man's soul. The instructions to the paths of righteousness wherein we might be saved. The leadership of His Spirit that guides His children along. The voice of the shepherd. I pray this morning that our hearts could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it would surpass what you hear with your natural ears of the body of Mike Freeman, but that it would penetrate your heart, that the Word of God would speak to us thoroughly and intently of where we're at, where we're going, and what we're being led by. As the Lord's speaking here in a few verses before this, He says much of the same thing, but they ask Him, they wanted a better understanding of it. And as He starts through 1 through 5, he covers this, that He is the door of the sheepfold. But then when we get down here where we picked up, is that He explains it a little more in depth, if you will. He covers it, if you will, just more plainly to the heart, to the soul. And I'm sure many times that they were those that were standing around that understood what He said the first time. But then there were some that needed to hear it again, and without a doubt that God seen throughout all time and ages that we would need to look at this, and it was recorded eternally in the Word of God for you and I to look at this morning. And so many times I understand one of the passages here, the more abundant life, and so many times people are interested in this more abundant life about just claiming Jesus and running right along. And this easy believism, if I can say it this way, that's creeped into our generation, in our society. It has a hint of humanism. My friend, it is an extension of, and some may understand it and find it offensive about what I'm about to say, but I can't help it. It is what it is, an extension of Arminianism, easy believism, and just call on Jesus and you're saved. Friend, understand something. That if all that profess that Jesus is Lord, if all that say that God is their Savior, that they are Christian, we'd live in a different world. It would be a different United States. There wouldn't be murder on demand from mothers who've been living in sin. There wouldn't be so many divisions and envies in our country. There would be a whole lot more unity if all that were Christians were truly Christians. All that carried just the name, my friend, not on the outside. Would to God that it was on the inside. Would to the Lord in all my heart this morning that they really knew what the door was. Preacher, it seems like this is all you ever preach on. Friend, I promise you, I'm doing my best to be led of God. And I want to see every last one of us make heaven's gate. I don't want to see anybody err on the sin of unbelief. Well, preacher, we all believe. Understand this, please. The Bible says this, that even the demons in hell believe and tremble. It's not hard to agree that the sun outside right now is shining. It's not hard to agree, if you were where I was at this morning, that this earth shook. It wouldn't have been hard to agree because it happened. But understand this morning, friend. Jesus is more than just a story about a man you learned in a book. Thank God for the day that the glorious light of the Word of God brought me to the door of the sheepfold. Thank God, my friend, that there was a way. This door, my friend, is an entrance. This door is a way to pass through. And there was only, my friend, the high priest that was allowed to go into the holiest of holies. He had a place, my friend, he went in behind the curtain, how that he might commune with God. Friend, let me tell you something today. God Almighty, by His Son, has made you and I an entrance to get to Him. Yes. But unless you come through the door, you're not getting in. Lord, help our hearts. Well, preacher, it's easy to believe. Let me tell you about a people that for 40 years seen the work of God, and then, my friend, for another 40 years eat the manna of God, and they didn't go in. They didn't make the entrance. And the only reason why they didn't make the entrance was because they didn't believe. You can find that in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the Bible says, bear with us, please. The Bible says in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Here again is entering in, my friend, and the only way they can enter in is by believing on the blessed Lamb of God. These didn't enter in because of unbelief. And I don't want to see anybody come short of it. Come short of what? Come short of the door. Now listen, Judas kissed the door of heaven and departed into hell. He went out and hanged himself. My friend, his life gushed out of him. Friend, he took his own life. My friend, and I'm sure that God Almighty knew His end before His beginning because He's God. But friend, understanding this, how that God has set a door before us today. And He said, I am, listen to the Word of God. He said, I am the door. I wish to the Lord above this morning I could get that across to us of what the Bible's saying here when Jesus said, I am the door.
Moses was sent by God into the land of Egypt, and he asked God, "Who do I tell them sent me?" "You tell them I am sent you." I want you to know something. There was an I am come to where I was in bondage one day, and he got me out. Jesus said, "I am the door." Listen on. "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." Let me deal just a few minutes here with the thieves and the robbers. Was there any ever thieves and robbers come to you and my friend a long life's way? And what did they do? They took from you that you thought you had. They took that from you, my friend, that you thought was yours. Now, understand something. When a thief comes, he's got one motive in mind. He believes that you are in possession of something that he wants. And most of the time, it's like this. When a thief comes into your house, he's got one or two things in idea for that he wants to take from you, and everything else he's going to leave in shambles. He'll break windows. He'll kick in doors. My friend, he'll open drawers and pour all that's in them out. My friend, he'll leave your house in shambles because what he's after, my friend, all the other things that you still hold dear, still he's just wanting two or three things from you. Usually something he can get some money for quick or money itself. He'll flip up your mattresses trying to find your guns. My friend, he'll look under your bed and in your closets trying to find those things that you've hid away. And in the process, he's destroying everything else you've got. Can you see how the devil is destroying everything else that you've got? And he's after your life. Can you see the thieves and the robbers? They've come to steal and to kill. Thank God for the door. Why, preacher, it's a way of escape. Friend, understand. The world will tell you what you want to hear, that they might destroy what you've got, that they might take from you. Jesus Christ came offering life. It didn't require a sacrifice. He provided you one. It didn't require a turtle dove. My friend, he provided you one. It didn't require gold and men. My friend, he gave you that you got. But I can promise you this, friend, thieves have come to my life for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And understanding that these thieves are on every side. And this is the worst part. God help us to deal with this for a while. It's one thing when a thief might break into our natural homes and they might stir up our natural stuff and they might, my friend, destroy and break some things that I'll have to make a repair on. And lo and behold, they may even get into my precious things and take some of them. And that's a horrible thing, don't get me wrong. But let's go just a little further. How about the thief, my friend, that comes into your life? My friend, breaks into your life. Trespasses. Now how? Now how, my friend, does the enemy get into our life? He convinces you that he is someone that he is not. He convinces you that he's there to help you. He convinces your consciousness, my friend, that he's safe. He won't hurt you. Why, I want to be your friend. And the next thing you realize, all of a sudden those good things that you used to hold so dear to your life are now in shambles because they don't mean as much to you as they used to mean. Why don't they? Because that friend drug you away from it. That friend convinced you that you could do that later on. And the next thing you know, your desire, your wants, your hungering for those good things of life, you've put it off. You're going to do that later on. I want to do this right now because my friend says it's okay.
I'm glad to report to you, there's no friend sticking closer than Jesus.
I found him to help me in the thoughts of my mind when everything else is falling down around me. I found him to steady my heart whenever everybody else's heart was failing them. I had him to help me and hold me up. What are you saying? I've seen the friends of the world fail my acquaintances. Hear me? I have seen the friends of this world fail my acquaintance. But I tell you what, I've seen my Father and my Savior uphold my brother when the waves are rolling high.
Amen.
I've seen God speak peace, my friend, like a river. And when it looked like everything else in their life, I was turned upside down, running inside out, and I still found them to have some joy in their life. But I never seen a thief leave one of my brothers or sisters that way. But I've seen people who they know Jesus. What's so amazing? They don't know peace. Oh, they know the Lord of glory, but they don't know unity. They thrive on division. They hunger, my friend, after strife. Boy, I tell you what, my friend, when you get to the door, there's only one way. There's only one will. There's only one master. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. And thank God there's only one love. And that's the love of God. Why would you be robbed? Why would you want to have something taken from you that is supposed to be so dear, so near, so precious? He says, I am the door of the sheep. All, not just some, but all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, now, preacher, that's over there in Revelations, and that's deep, and that, listen to me. I wait sometimes because I want to make sure I'm not in this. How many of you have a Thompson Bible? I don't have to see a show of hands. I hope you do. I'm sold on a Thompson. I like them a lot. I use them. I've got two or three at home. I've done my best to wear out. This is one of my newer ones, and I'm using it now, and I like it because the pages are still real bright, and they're not stuck together over here on the sides. My other one, they stick together bad because I've handled them. But in a Thompson, if you go back after the book, and you get back to the analysis of the book, you can start reading about how that they compiled different things about the books. One thing that I knew, but I was gladly reminded of the other day, the world will take this, the enemy will take this right here, and he's going to twist it, and he's going to wrap it around your carnal mind and try to make you feel good. He's going to try to, if you will, stay with me real close, and I'm going to run along, but stay with me. Wonder why the devil come to Eve and not Adam. Adam was made first. Eve is the weaker vessel. It's not a shame. That's just, they're delicate. Men, They're like fine china, if you will. They're delicate. But they're also not as rigid. So the devil come to her and tempted her. Now this ain't biblical. But now she's got a little bit of knowledge that she can now tell him that's been telling me everything. I can tell him something. Because our flesh likes to say, well, I know this. Every ounce of our flesh enjoys that. But I am what I am by the grace of God, and may we all ever be reminded of that. That I know nothing except by what Jesus has given me. Now let us run on. The book of Revelations is not a prophecy to come or a prophecy that's past. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus after Jesus after Jesus after Jesus. It's all Jesus. So stop. I don't know why this is coming. Stop trying to intertwine the flesh to the Word of God. Wow. I never knew that was coming, but I love the Lord, and I love His help to my life. But let us look on at this, and let us be wise. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now your outward man's got an ear on the side of his head, and you're hearing the air that's passing across my vocal cords. I formed into sentences and stuff, but God is trying to speak to your heart. There's where the Spirit of God is going to speak to your life at. It's down in your heart. I firmly believe this, that is exactly the way He spoke to Abraham. That is exactly the way He spoke to Noah. That is exactly the way He spoke to David. That is exactly the way He spoke to Moses. That's the way God speaks to us. It's an impression upon our heart. Welcome to grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Read the definition of grace. It's God's divine influence upon the heart reflected in the life. Kindles in us, my friend, the desire to practice Christian virtues. Without a shadow of a doubt, God speaks to the heart. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What are you saying to all this? I want you to know who your friend is. The friend is speaking to your heart. The friend, my friend, being God. And that thing that calls you your friend is speaking to your carnal mind. Are you hearing me? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let me tell you something, friend. I would love to walk with God continually. I've got to make my living by the sweat of my brow. That's the teachings of the book. And sadly, I am not in the Spirit of God continually. Now my inward man knows the Spirit and the power of God, and He is what leads and guides us. My flesh is sold under sin. It's still, my friend, got the sentence of death in it. It's going to go down. But our inward man has been born again. He is going up. Well, preacher, there'll be a resurrection. Amen, there will be. And that resurrection, my friend, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, those of us that remain. But the dead in Christ shall rise first. I understand every bit of that, but know this, my friend. Your flesh is still your enemy. But it'll call you its friend. How do you know, preacher? Well, I wouldn't want to hurt my name. Which name? Which name? Which name are you trying to preserve? Let's use the rascal that's on his feet for just a moment. Am I trying to preserve the name of Michael Keith Freeman? Or am I trying to preserve the name of God Almighty? I'll tell you, friend. I'll tell you what we do lots of times. We're worried a whole lot more about this outward man than we are this inward man. Who was it that God saved. Thank God he saved that part of me, and that shall exist forever. Heaven help us.
Listen on. Oh, trust me now. Let me not just leave you right there. Trust me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. He's given us power over this outward man.
Yes.
I used to have to live in subjection to him. Remember the day you got liberated? Thank God for the day that I got set free. Yes. Preacher, are you sure which door you went through? Listen on. He said, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, how alive do you feel? How together do you feel? Let's look at this. The thief cometh not but for to steal. You missing anything? Have you lost out on something? Is there something missing? Can you not find it? Now, there's sometimes at my house, and if you come by there, you can understand. I know I've got something, but I just can't lay my hand on it. You know why? Because we got too much stuff. We got so much stuff, our minds can't even keep up where we put it. But now, let me ask you something. Have you ever had anything stolen from you? I have. It's frustrating. It's aggravating. It'll build a fire in me real quick. Somebody come in and take something that does not belong to them. My friend, they don't even know what it cost me to possess it. They don't know how the extent and what I went to obtain it. My friend, and then they broke into my life and stole it away. It's so sad when I see people that are missing something called peace. Called joy. They come into the house of God. They know the language. They know the book. They know the page. But they don't know the power. Well, preacher, how do you know I don't have peace? Well, I can promise you this. My friend, I promise you this. Now, let's think about something. I'm going to come back to this. My mind's running 100 miles an hour. Okay, you've got something set up for your children. And you want your children, because you come from such a vast family, you want your children to be able to recognize and understand who is your family and who's not your family. I can promise you this, if I run into some of my people that's down east, I might not recognize some of them because it's been so long. I've got some kinfolk out on the west coast. Should I see Curtis Freeman this morning, I don't know that I'd recognize him. I might recognize him when I heard him speak, but if you had the power, the unlimited means in which that you could so set it in order that your children would know one another, would you not put this in place? Yes, you would. And God did. I tell you what, my friend, there is no substitute. There's no fabrication of being a child of God. Dear friend, when the power of God lives and abides in someone's heart, you're not going to hide it. You're not going to disguise it. You're not going to bury it in the traditions of your fathers. The power of God's going to come out of your life. You're going to be recognizable. So now, friend, with this in place, God lets us know who has been stolen, has been abused, has been imprisoned, who don't have the joy of God, who don't have the peace that passeth all understanding. I've seen some going through heartaches and trials. I mean trials of a lifetime. And you wonder, how in the world do they still have a testimony of God? But you know what? You don't think about that until after the fact. Why? Because when they come into the house of God and they offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor unto God, all your heart can do is rejoice, my friend, because of the sacrifice of glory and praise that's been given to God. My friend, when you come to yourself after such a great blessing given unto the Lord, you stop and you consider, my goodness, look what they've been going through. How is this? They went through the door. They went through the door. It's an access. It's a path. There's no other way. Preacher, you're complicating it. No, let me tell you something. This world has polluted it with easy believism. You don't want to die and go to hell, do you, son? Who in their right mind would say, why, yes, I do, preacher. You see how the enemy creeps in? Do you see how he says, I want to be your friend? They are men that have merchandised this blessed place right here. There have men that have merchandised this place right here, all over our land and country. They are men, my friend, that have merchandised souls right here and all over our country. Why? So that they could be proven that they were right. What? Welcome to the enemy who said he was your friend. Preacher, that's just too hard. You shouldn't say, friend, I'm not talking about no amount of flesh. No. I'm talking about the devil and Jesus. What do you mean? They are men who are taken captive by the devil at the devil's will. They can't help themselves. You don't think so? Could Saul of Tarsus help himself? Why would he not help himself? Because he believed he was doing the work of God. Children, I beg you to know the door. I beg you, my friend, to know that you went through the door. That the burden of establishing self-righteousness is over. The burden of trying to convince people that you're a child of God is over. The struggles of understanding all eternity and where I'll be is over. How could it be over, preacher? Because the door said this, it is finished.
Amen.
The door said, it's my life. I lay it down, take it up. Stay with me.
Look at the word. I've got it marked. If I can find which one I've got it marked at. It's Ephesians. Okay. Right here in Ephesians, the third chapter, the Bible says this.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Listen. To the intent. Now this is what God intended. Listen. This is in Ephesians 3. To the intent. That now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. Friend, let me tell you something. When you come to the knowledge and complete understanding that there's nothing you can ever do and or accomplish to merit the very gates of glory for yourself and anybody else that you love, but that if you have your hope, faith, and trust in what Christ done, you talk about a blessing. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. You talk about praise starting to spring up and begin to run out of your life because of what God has accomplished for our souls. You won't be able to keep your mouth closed. Listen up. I've not got down to where we want to be. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the plan of God. Listen on. In whom we have boldness. Well, preacher, you're pretty bold. No, I'm not boldness in myself. I don't have anything to be bold about, my friend, that I could say of my flesh. But I know what God's done. I know what the Lord of glory has settled in my soul. He said, in whom we have boldness, and I like this next word, and access. How? With, listen to this, with confidence by the faith of him. Do you know why the church has got faith? Because Jesus had faith. Well, Jesus was the Son of God. What type of faith did he have to have when he hung between heaven and earth and God turned his back on him and there he hung all by himself? What did he say? He said, "My God." And if we feel like our friends have turned their back on us, let alone if God has, boy, the anger just rises in us. And you know what? If our flesh don't get to do what our flesh wants to do, we get mad. And you're going to tell me you're serving Jesus? I tell you, my friend, you believe the friend of this world, a friend of the carnal side, and you bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. And you don't know peace. You know about God, and you know about Jesus, and you know about church, but you don't know peace. And the saddest part about it is that the thief has come to take from you, and he's already took from you. He's left your life in shambles. And you're convinced you're going to put it back together. And let me tell you something. You start with garbage and you end with garbage. Our building materials for our life is marred from the very time we were born. We might intend with everything in us to do so much better. And just as soon as you figure out that here's a thief and what he's been doing and you get rid of him, along will come another thief. I've seen people so many times in their mind turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. My friend, I promise you, I've been down that road and it's from pillar to post and it's never ever fixed until you get through the door. When you get it, by the grace of God, through the door. Oh, my friend. And you know what? It takes God to show you the door. You can't find it on your own. It takes God to show us where it's at. Listen on. He says, "I am come that they might have life." And listen to this. "And that they might have it more abundantly." Are you really living the more abundant life? Now that right there is just a message in itself. What is a more abundant life? Well, preacher, there's 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days in a week. On average, 30 to 32 days, 31 days in a month, up to 365 days in a year. How could I have a more abundant life? I stayed in a hotel in San Salvador City that I couldn't even begin to afford. There were 5 restaurants in there that there's no possible way I could have paid for a half a meal in any one of those places. Some of the finest fixings that my mind had ever seen. They had a table, and you may have heard me say this before, but they had a marble table in the lobby that was at least from right here to right back there at the door. And that's about 12 or 14 feet in diameter. And they had a bouquet of flowers in a vase that was as tall as I am. Every morning, marble on the walls, marbles on the floor. You didn't have to open a door. They was there to do it for you. My friend, I promise you some of the finest fictions you ever seen in your life. But I got to preach in a little bitty church way out in the country, way back out in the narrow woods, and I found the richest people I ever met. Yeah. They're so rich, you know what they did? The majority of their life, they were found at the house of God. 6 days a week. Had one night off to be at home. Every other night of the week, they were at the house of God. Well, preacher, they're just fanatics. No, I tell you, they went to the door and they found a friend. I would to God today, my friend, that our people knew what real joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace of God is. instead of formalized religion. Knowing I got to get back in church. No, you got to get further than church. You got to get through the door.
You can't get through the door on your own. Oh, but may the light of the glorious gospel of Christ illuminate your way. Listen on. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling. Well, now we're going to get down to the devil and his angels. He that is a hireling. He, my friend, that also has a master who's trying to creep into your life. And my friend, he that is going to convince you that he is your friend, but yet he's going to steal from you. He's going to destroy. He's going to leave you half dead. He too has a master. He's a hireling. He's after something that's not his. He wants something that costs him nothing. He wants it off the sweat of your back. He wants it from the blood of your veins. He wants it from that yearning from the inside of you that can talk to God. You see, when you come to the altar, it's more than words out of your mouth. It's more than just saying with my mouth, God forgive me. It must come out of the heart. How do you know, preacher? I've seen too many come with their mouth and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. And their heart never spoke. Preacher, how can you say that? You don't know anybody's heart. No, I don't, but my friend does. No, I'm not able to look down into the heart and fix what's wrong. But there's a Holy Ghost living in me that's able to bear witness that that's his. God wouldn't allow us to have something, my friend, that could be stolen away. Oh, listen on. How do you know? We're going to get to that. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known of mine. Let me turn over here in the earlier part of this. In the fifth verse of this same chapter, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You heard me a few days ago, a few services ago. One of my heart's desires and prayers unto God is that I might have discernment. What do you mean, preacher? Because I promise you, my friend, I could recognize the devil when he rolls up and he's playing his loud music and he's spewing out his profanities. And my friend, he's tattooed up from head to toe and interested in getting one more. He's got holes all in his body. His clothes doesn't match what a child of God conservative life matches. I'm able to recognize that, but let us go farther. It concerns me how when people's got confidence in men's flesh, who's walked around with a Bible in their hand, said, I'm a called man of God and you need to be saved. And my friend, hear me please. Unless it's God that does the work, there is no salvation that can ever be accomplished. Preacher, you sound angry. Oh, my friend, I promise you, when men merchandise men's souls for the ego of their own religious acts, it infuriates me. Why? Because these are who God sent His Son to die for.
That's right.
We better be careful at who we say we won to the Lord. Well, I won them. No, you did not. Well, I seen God work through me to save them. He's been working through the church. And my friend, for as far back as I've ever read, He's God. He's the potter, we're the clay. His ways are far above us, as high as the heavens is from the earth. May we know the door, that we might have a real friend.
Heaven help us. I pray, oh Lord, this morning. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. And am known of mine. I hear lots of men say they're preaching the gospel. Oh, but I fear greatly that they're preaching their agenda. I fear terribly that they've learned the behavior. They have had Arminianism, humanism creep into their life.
and they believe they're doing the work of God just exactly the way Saul of Tarsus believed he was doing the work of God. And what's he doing? He's hindering the church. He's destroying the souls of men. What do you mean? When a baby is carried in a mother's womb for 9 months, that baby is safe. At the time that that baby is being born, it's a very critical time. Lots of things can go wrong. Things can happen that you never imagined. I promise you, things can happen that you would have never imagined. And then there is no baby. What are you talking about, preacher? In the book of Revelation, you can read where that when the church was bringing forth a male child, and all of hell stood there ready to devour. They are people that have come close to the birth. And they didn't answer the word of God at the house of God. No, they got down the road and they worked it out on their own. They went this way and they done that, and they went that way and done this, and then they went over there and done that, and then they come back, I'm saved. Understand this. I assure you, my friend, that God is able to save souls all over this world. I am more than persuaded that God can save a communist child in China. I am totally convinced of that. You'll never tell me any different. But I can tell you this, if you get born again, it'll be by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll be by the working of the Spirit of God, and it'll be by your life responding, my friend, to the amazing grace of God, speaking to your heart. How do you know, my friend, read Ephesians 2 and 8, my friend, that we're born again, by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. No other way. Welcome to the door. Listen on, please. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That verse that I just read to you, the 16th verse of the 10th chapter, ought to make our hearts rejoice with joy unspeakable and that full of glory. Why, preacher? Because I believe that Jesus is speaking of me. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold. I was not born, my friend, according to the flesh in the genealogy of Abraham. I was born a Gentile dog. Them who didn't even receive the laws of God. That's where I was and that's where you were. But God in His mercy and His grace, yea, from the very beginning, has reached out to the Gentile world. And He allowed time to last, listen please, allowed men to exist, allowed sin in this world until it come a fullness of time. And His mercy and His grace come to where I was, and He changed my whole life. I got born again. And this is only an operation of God. Therefore, I can see myself in this chapter, in this verse. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. How did you get to where you're at? He said, I must bring. They can't get there on their own. He said, I must bring. Did the I Am come to you and show you where the door was? I pray you can rejoice at the time, and my friend, when you know God come to where you were. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Friend, I'm going to touch on just a little something here. Maybe this is just for me. I don't know. I hope maybe it'll speak to you. I'm not sure. But let me tell you something. My Savior was able to take His life. And He became like me. How do you know, preacher? He said, I can lay it down. He became dead. And then He took it back up again. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So since I couldn't get to Him because I was already dead, He became dead and then He became alive that I might have a way to the door. He had the power to lay His life down and take it up again. I was already dead in my trespasses and sin, and I could not take up my life again. Though lots of friends told me I could. Though lots of thieves and robbers came to where I was, and they were robbing from me, my friend, the heartfelt desire to be born again, and my friend, to really be found pleasing unto God, they tried to go through this door, this door, this door. Thank God for the day He came and showed me the door. What an access. What an entering in. Listen to this. I wasn't far from here just a few days ago. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is in Romans 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I promise you that right there will preach till Jesus comes. Imagine, my friend, when I was in the flesh and all the thieves and robbers of this world was destroying my life, that I could have had peace with God. Believe it or not, but that's what every man of the flesh would love to have, is peace with God. Because you see, in the back of their mind, it gnaws at them, and it gnaws at them, and it gnaws at them. Is my good enough? Do I really have it? Have I really got it? Am I saved? Am I going to heaven? I wish I could just get it right. They hunger for peace with God. To have peace with God is indescribable. To have peace with God, the human language does not know the vocabulary that would even begin to describe it. The best way that I could start it out, it starts out like this. Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. And it's all the way through to the end and all eternity. Welcome to peace with God. I love that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom? Now listen to this. By whom? Also, we have access. Welcome to the door. Welcome to the door. We have access how? How? By faith into this grace. You're going to have to believe what you've heard and respond to the Word of God. You got to get past who this flesh is, and it's God speaking to your heart. You're about to die, and you're not going to live. And the only thing that's going to matter is if you've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It won't matter that you've attended church for 90 years, for 200 years, for 5 days. The only thing that's going to matter is that you know Jesus and that Jesus knows you. Yes. Listen to these verses again, please, and get past the flesh and look at the Spirit. Therefore, let's go back and see why He said therefore. Let's go back up 2 verses. In the 4th, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, He come to where we were, we couldn't get to Him, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. How can I have peace with God? Because I believed in His Son and God gave me justification. Preacher, you're complicating it. No, it's simple. It's the friend that you call friend of your flesh that's complicating it. When that God is dealing with your heart. Remember, go back to the start of the service. It's God that's dealing and speaking to your heart. And it's your carnal man that's wrestling in your mind. Where's the kingdom of God at? Where did the book say it would be? In the hearts of His people. Yes. Who's sitting on that throne? It's the Lord of glory. I need to hurry. Now, stepping on down into this fifth verse. Therefore, for this reason, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That ought to make you shout. That I've got peace with God. Yeah, but what about the sins and the scoundrel you know yourself to be, preacher? You ever know what it's like to have sins forgiven? I mean forgiven. You're not going to work to pay them back. You're not going to say 50 Hail Marys and there be retrieved. My friend, listen to this. Jesus came to save sinners, of who I am chief. And to rejoice over sins forgiven. It's amazing to me how that people is not able to rejoice in God that my sins are forgiven. Because when He saved me, this is the ideology of religious works and religious that we have in our day. Well, now, when you get saved, God forgave you for all them sins up until you got saved. Now, if you sin anymore, you're going to have to pay for it. That's not in the book. It's not the book. It is not the book. Well, preacher, I can show you. Well, you show me. Because I've looked and I don't find it. What are you saying, preacher? I can promise you that the book is true, that the way of a transgressor is hard. But there's no way you can pay for your sins. Mm-hmm. If you pay for one sin, you know where you're going to be? In eternity in hell. How do you know, preacher? They did not enter in because of the sin of unbelief. They died in the wilderness because of the sin of unbelief. There are people today who's sitting on church pews and who's at the lake fishing and at the racetrack or doing whatever, at home sleeping, watching TV. They are people today, they're there because of unbelief. They don't know the door. Oh, now they're going to take care of it one of these days. And they're really going to get it right. Because they're going to talk to this one and they're going to talk to that one. And I'm going to figure this out. No, you won't. You'll split hell wide open. You will die lost in your sins. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. You see, it's Jesus that done it. And when He forgave me my sins, He forgave me all my sins. Listen to me. If He died over 2,000 years ago, nailed to a cross, and we can say that He paid my sin debt there before those sins were ever committed by my flesh, but yet we're going to say He paid for them. Friend, He paid for all my sins. Past, present, and future. Preacher, I just can't go along with that. Well, I pray that God would save you with such a salvation. I pray that, my friend, you could find such a door, an entrance to where that you could have peace with God. You know why? Because you can't keep yourself tomorrow. You cannot stop a sinful thought from entering into your conscious thinking before it gets there. It will get there and you can't even stop it. But thank God He gave us the ability to recognize the devil. You don't belong in here! How do you know, preacher? Because He gave us the mind of Christ. Philippians, you can read it, second chapter. Therefore, He said, let us therefore have the mind of Christ. Let this mind which is in Christ Jesus be in ye also. Listen on to the word. I'll hurry. Bear with us, please. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Wherein we stand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where do you stand? Well, I stand. Listen to me. We better stand with the Lord, or there is no place to stand. We better stand on the rock of ages, and we better be broken by this stone, or it's fixing to fall on you and it's going to grind you to powder. You will not survive the condemnation and the conviction for refusing to believe the report of the Son of God. Well, preacher, I believe. Well, then where's your joy? Why is it that you're missing some things? Why does it appear that you have been robbed, my friend, robbed of the peace and contentment of the house of God? I don't mean just the four walls, ceilings and floor, front door and back. I mean the kingdom of God living on the inside of your life. The consistency of faith. Now, faith is not affected by the stock market. It's invisible. Faith is not affected by the weather. It would pass through it. Faith is not affected by the atmosphere of friends or foe. It can't touch it. Therefore, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So when the world and hellhounds howl against me, my friend, God's been able, my friend, since the beginning of time and the establishment of the church, to make us steadfast, unmovable, yet always abounding in the work of the Lord. But we find ourselves tattooed like the world, running to the world, and despise the Word of God.
Preacher, I don't despise it. I'm here. I'm not going to get in the flesh. I'm going to keep on preaching. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Now, when you just stop, now I'll try to just preach on the rest of this and I'll get through. But rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you hope to see more of the glory of God? Boy, I do. And I'll confess something to you. Wayne, I don't want to just see it in me. But I want to see it in this heart, 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 this heart, all over the house. I want to see the glory of God. What do you mean? It's like Abraham. He sojourned in this world looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, Lord, help us to hope, my friend, that we might see the kingdom of God running out of every last one of us. This shall we know. This shall we know who lives in here. Yes. But when you have no peace, when you've been robbed, I don't know when, but I'll get to sometime. I can tell you, I fear some are mad because their gourd died. Jonah got mad. Because the gourd died. He wept. He was upset over that gourd died. Because it was his comfort to his flesh. And he didn't have pity for a whole city who didn't know the right hand from the left. A king that was so zealous to obey the word of God had the cattle in sackcloth and ashes. Because our flesh gets a little uncomfortable, we get the sour mouth. Boy, I tell you what. Be aware of this. Be wise. Don't let your life go to the place that God, not man, not religion, not thoughts of your flesh, but be careful. Oh, be so careful how you entreat the Word of God. Because God said this in His Word, that He would send them strong delusions, that they would believe a lie and be damned. Preacher, God wouldn't do that to me. Jesus said this, and a lot of you have heard this a whole lot of late.
Jesus said this, the Son of God said this, if the works that were done in thee, he was speaking to Syria, can't pronounce it right, were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have long ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now this is what Jesus said. And by his very statement, he made choice that he didn't do those works in Sodom and Gomorrah. But he told Tyria and Sidon that if the works that were done in you were done in them, they would have long ago repented. And he destroyed them. So if you don't think God will send you a strong delusion, let you believe a lie and be damned, just keep rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ, his Son. Be so careful. Take a quick inventory of your peace, your joy, your contentment, your satisfaction as serving God. And what does the world really rob from you? I tell you, friend, they'll take your zeal, your desire, your praise, your testimony. All because they were saying that they were your friend. I'm not ever too right. Because I said a while ago, I was going to say this and finish, but I do have one more thing to mention to you. If your friends, if the people that you don't like spending time with is not within earshot of you right now, hey, something dead up your creek. If you like people that's in this world and doing the things of this world more than you like the people where you're around right now, there's something dead up your creek. Something bad wrong. What are you saying, Mike? Welcome to my family. My brothers, my sisters. I love the people of God. Preacher, that's a big statement. He gave it to me to say. He put it in me or I'd have never done it. Neither would have you. Why? Because we would have loved this flesh to death. Thank God for the friend. Thank God for the good shepherd. Thank God for the door that made an entrance into such a grace, such a blessing. We'll rest from our seats. Please, this morning, consider the Word of God.